You know, one verse that came to my mind was a verse in 1 Peter where it just says that since you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, love one another deeply from the heart. Okay, so, man, and any time, like, Andrew got up, Andrew did a great job just leading us into the heart for this morning, didn't he? I just think, man, anytime someone can get up and say, hey, this is like my Paul to me as Timothy, you know someone has lived a life for Jesus, devoted to Jesus. And one thing I've known about David is that he's a man of perseverance. He perseveres to learn something and to follow Jesus. And it's been good to see. So I look forward to you guys hearing from him. So why don't we pray together that God would speak to us, share something with us through David. Father, thank you for David. This man, what a son of the Most High God. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to even to walk by his side for a little while and to see him just, man, grow as a leader in your kingdom, God. Would you speak to us right now, God, through him? Would our hearts be open to what your spirit wants to say through his story? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. So once again, my name is David Munich. If you hadn't heard me say that from the first five times I've been up here, I'm married to my beautiful wife, Joelle. She's right there. Everybody look at her. She doesn't like when people look at her, so everyone should look at her real quick. We have two kids, Ryder, who is 2.5, and Elias, who's 4 months old, and Ryder's really excited to have a little brother. A fun fact, when I was still in high school, I met Joel. I had long black hair, and I actually had my septum pierced. So we have a picture of it. Hey! If you were wondering what cool looks like, it's in the dictionary. I don't actually have my nose pierced in that picture, but you can imagine it. So I actually didn't really meet Joel until a year later when I was a freshman in college. I was playing mud football at Tanglewood Park with Joelle. And from the moment I saw her get tackled, carrying the football in nasty, sloshy, smelly mud, I was captivated. Joelle was a cute, she is, I say was, she is a cute blonde girl. She's fun. She instantly wins people over whenever they first meet her. It's just her personality. And she... What really helped is she drove around in a Jeep Wrangler, yellow Jeep Wrangler, with the soft top off, blasting music. She was the essence of a fun, confident woman. And I like to have fun. But as we started dating, I also realized that Joelle was a very hurt and broken person. Her mom struggled with alcoholism ever since she was young. And Joelle just felt a lot of abandonment from that. Her dad also struggled to make good on promises he had made. Me, I was laid back. I was patient. I was kind. I was reserved. Joelle would have called me mysterious. Lucky for me, all those things were things that Joelle thought was attractive. I was also irresponsible. I, like her dad, didn't really follow through a lot of things that I said I was going to do. In some ways, I was a classic idealistic artist. I was young, I was opinionated, and I often view things through the same artistic mindset, just this critical eye that I had. And I evaluated all things through that eye, including people. I loved Joel from the start, though. In 2008, we started dating, and in 2011, I got to marry my best friend. We had grown in our love, but now marriage allowed us to grow even deeper in our love. And I knew in general of Joel's pain, but a marriage allowed me to enter more fully into that pain. And I wanted to help her. I saw those deep wounds and I wanted to help her. After all, I loved her. I'm reminded of Paul's letter to the Colossians when he says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." I wanted Joelle to know that she was dearly loved. I saw her pain and I wanted to meet it with compassion. The etymology of the word compassion is Latin, meaning co-suffering. It's the precursor to empathy, to feel as she feels. And because I have the Holy Spirit inside of me, I know that if I can meet her in that place where she feels in her brokenness, that the Lord can use the Holy Spirit inside of me to bring about life in her. But how? What does it take for me to be able to enter into her pain and help her heal? How can I speak the truth that she is dearly loved into those places where she felt unloved? In 2013, we spent that Christmas with her parents in the Woodlands, Texas, which, if you don't know, is the north side of Houston. So in those early years of our marriage, I didn't always look forward to those extended trips with her family. Because each time we went there, there would be some amount of tension created between Joelle and I. It wasn't that I didn't like her family, but I definitely had issues with them. See, what created that tension is that over the many conversations, Joelle had related the hurt that her parents had caused her. I loved her, and I wanted to come to her rescue. But since it all happened in the past, I just had to settle for sustained indignation towards them. I held on to these stories, and it was a lens through which I saw them. But rather than my indignation towards her parents causing unity and love, it did the opposite. And I didn't understand why. I was confused and frustrated. I was trying to love her, but it wasn't working. I was definitely on her side. I definitely heard her out in those conversations. So why didn't she appreciate my judgment on her parents? Wasn't it the same judgment she had? I wrote about this in a journal entry shortly after that Christmas break. The friction in the conversation between Joelle and myself over her family and the pain she's experienced is this. She tells me something bad or sad that happened in her childhood, and so I see her family in this light. But when I judge them by the very stories Joelle had related, she gets defensive and upset. She gets upset, I don't understand, and the whole thing breaks down when she shuts me out. It's funny and somewhat sad listening or just reading that journal entry. And if you're married, which most of you aren't since you're students, but if you've been in any kind of relationship, soon as I mention talking about her parents and experiencing judgment towards them, you're like, oh man, rookie mistake. I was a rookie. The truth is, I didn't know how to listen. I didn't know how to hear Joel's pain. I instantly went to, this is how it makes me feel. Which is good. It's empathy. I was tracking with her. But I walked away from those conversations taking a singular feeling, which was anger, when there was much more. There was much more longing and regret and shame, loneliness. I eventually wised up and I stopped talking bad about her parents around her. If anything, just to keep the peace between Joel and I. But really, when things begin to change, and what mainly I was learning is this. I began to understand how to help walk with Joel in those conversations towards healing by mourning with her and inviting the Lord to speak truth into her pain. Let me read that again. I began to understand how to help walk with Joel in those conversations towards healing by mourning with her and inviting the Lord to speak truth into the pain. In Romans 12:15, Paul commands, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. It's a powerful statement. Mourn with those who mourn. One of the greatest practitioners I saw of this was my friend Mike Klunke, who is also the pastor at Illinois State. So I witnessed him on several occasions in counseling sessions with me and with others, sit with people, just to sit with people, and to hear them out and acknowledge the sadness. I was floored by it. I saw people come to tears and the healing that it brought. It was incredible. I wrote about this in amazement in my journal. I can engage in people's pain by simply sitting with them and acknowledging the sadness. I can mourn with those who mourn. Another influence in learning how to engage in people's pain, specifically my wife's pain, is Mark Gonzalez, the guy who introduced me. Mark Gonzalez, I've experienced him practice theophostics with me on a number of occasions. And if you're not familiar with theophostics, a person recalls a painful memory and the facilitator asks the Lord to speak into that pain. Which, saying it out loud, you're like, oh, that's obvious, right? You should always ask the Lord to speak into something that's painful. But it wasn't obvious to me. Like I said, I was a rookie. Yeah, I began to practice inviting the Lord into my own emotional pain and the emotional pain of others. And the Lord brought about very real intangible healing. So I started using these two tools. It was awkward at times. It didn't feel natural, for sure. And I can even remember practicing it with a specific person in my home group, practicing mourning with them and really hearing and inviting the Lord to speak truth into it, and I felt woefully inadequate in it. But I wanted the Lord to use me so bad in the healing of people because I saw this as such a huge, crucial conversation in people's lives. I wanted the Lord to use me, so I kept trying. I also wanted to use this with my wife. I wanted to engage with her pain on that level. I just needed an opportunity. Luckily, an opportunity came. And like a lot of the pain-filled conversations that Joel and I have, they are ignited by my own selfish actions. It was June 24th, 2016. We were spending the summer at LT in Estes Park at the YMCA of the Rockies. We stayed in a small cabin about a 10-minute walk from the main portion of the campus. Ryder, my oldest son, was going through a particularly rough patch of sleeping. It was really bad during the day. So sometimes he would just cry for hours. And I don't know if any of y'all have really young siblings or if you have maybe nieces or nephews, but man, a crying baby just drives you insane. Especially when there's nothing you can do about it. So I had planned to go out that day and play Ultimate Frisbee with a couple of the LTers. But before I left, Joelle was expressing that she felt nervous because Ryder had had a bad morning. But I assured Joelle it'd be okay, that if she needed me, that she'd be able to get a hold of me. Although, this wasn't normally the case, I insisted that this time she would be able to get a hold of me and I would drop what I was doing and I'd run and help her. For the first hour after I left, I made sure to check my phone regularly. But as time went on, I checked less and less. We finished playing several hours later and feeling pretty good after getting to run around. I checked my phone. And I saw several missed calls, several unread texts. And my stomach just dropped. I felt terrible. Each text, wondering where I was and pleading more and more progressively for help. You can bet I ran back to the cabin as fast as I could. So getting there, sweating, and seeing my wife holding a crying baby and tears coming down her own face. I wrote the journal entry the next day about our conversation. Last night, I tried to love Joelle like an infant trying to walk. I had told her she mattered, that she was worth me dropping what I was doing when she asked for help. But I failed. I didn't have my phone on me and I missed her calls for help. I finally saw the screen with her pleas and I swear I heard her hurt through the text. When I got back, it took a while to draw her out of, but we finally began to talk about my actions and how they affected her, how it made her feel. She told me, and I felt it, in the crushing weight of generations of a broken family, I met her there. She told me about the time when she was little, when she tried to ride her bike and fell. Little Joelle, with her knees scraped and bleeding and a mom too drunk to care or notice, looking for someone, anyone to help her. Joelle had been scraped in the fall from the bike, but she had been crippled by her mom's uncaring addiction. She came to the conclusion that she was not worth caring for. So I sat with Joelle there in a cabin in the mountains, talking and crying together. I understood a glimpse of Joelle's pain. Like an infant, I tried to speak. I tried to love her. In a small, unsteady voice, I said, "I care." I feel this is what the Holy Spirit wanted to say to her. That night, the Lord used my shortcomings to bring about a beautiful conversation of unity and healing. She told me about her mom and the pain that occurred through years of alcoholism. It was the overwhelming abandonment that she felt by it. I was able to mourn with her and to just sit and co-suffer with her. In that conversation, other since, I continue to affirm the fact that she was worth caring for, that she was a beautiful person made in the image of God. So little by little, I began to put healing tools that the Lord had been teaching me to use. The conversation was perhaps one of the most profound I've ever had in my life. So I wish I could say that I'm perfect at listening. And even to this day, I miss opportunities to speak truth into her life and to love her. But there have been a number of occasions where the Holy Spirit is moving in my life and I'm able to grasp that moment and to just sit there and to mourn with her, to acknowledge the loss and to love her and to speak truth into that moment. I could spend a long time mentioning the wounds that I myself have caused, but that'd be a whole nother story. The truth is I desire to love Joelle by sitting with her, to love her, to enter into that pain. And I've witnessed this healing. I've witnessed the healing that it's brought her, and it's changed her life, and it's so powerful. I was talking with Mark on Friday, and he was asking me, after I shared this teaching with him, this story with him, he said, "So what if 2013 David was sitting out in that crowd, what would you want him to hear? What would you want him to walk away with?" I would want him to know, be someone who brings life. Bring life into those conversations with your wife. Don't jump to conclusions too quickly, but understand. Try to understand and mourn with her. There's so much healing in mourning. To co-suffer with someone. And then not in a pious way or to say, "Well, if you just pray about it, you'll be healed." No, it's like, no, I'm entering into that pain. I'm feeling as she's feeling. And I'm asking the Lord, "Lord, how can you use me in this moment to bring life to her?" That's what I would want him to know. To walk out in that. I'm going to close by reading a journal entry. Actually, not a journal entry. By reading a letter that Joelle had written to me for my past birthday. "I have a very distinct memory," this is Joelle talking, "I have a very distinct memory from my freshman year at A&M. I was crying and longing so bad for someone to simply tell me everything will be okay. I never had that, at least not that I can remember in my life, until you came. And God brought me so much healing just through your comfort. You just being with me. Your comfort has softened my heart so much, especially when I face pain today. I can bear it with you beside me. Thank you for being an incredible lover, an incredible husband. You take such good care of me." That's an awesome letter. So, I'm going to invite the worship band back up. I wanted to say this, that if you're wondering, so how does this apply to me? I'm not married. And you think, what do I take away from this? That we, as the body of Christ, that the Lord desires to use us to bring about healing in people's lives. And then maybe it doesn't feel natural. You're not sure how you should go about doing it. Maybe it's another person in your home group. Maybe it's a girl. And you're like, I don't know. We'll just get counsel. Get counsel. That's okay. Just ask someone who's a little bit wiser than you, "What should I do in this situation?" But I know that the Lord desires to use us this way. That He desires for us to be compassionate people, to be gentle and kind, and to mourn with those who mourn. So for the rest of this time, I would just encourage you to ask the Lord, how can you use me in this way? Do I have someone who's like that with me? Can I seek that out, Lord? Would you provide it for me? And can I be that person to someone else? Let me pray for us. Lord, I thank you so much for my wife. Thank you so much for the forgiveness and the graciousness that she's shown me. I thank you for that, just the little bit of healing that I've gotten to play a part in her life. It's such a huge honor and blessing to see life take place where there once was death. I think of in Genesis when it talks about chaos and that the world was formless and void and how the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters. And then suddenly, Lord, you speak and that there's life being brought there. That there's order being brought out of the chaos. God, that is the same Holy Spirit inside of each of us. Lord, would you use us to bring about life and the people around us? In your name I pray this. Amen.